I'm Susie Larson. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Susie Larson Live.
It's only just a matter of
welcome to Susie Larson Live. Always honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. Well, if you have adult children, maybe you've asked yourself a few questions like this. Is it okay to give advice to my grown children? What's the difference between enabling and actually helping? What boundaries should I have in place if my adult child moves back home? What should I do if it seems like my adult child isn't maturing into adulthood? What's a healthy and appropriate way to relate to my adult child's significant other? How can I support my adult child when I can't support their values? Well, if you've wondered such things, you've come to the right place. Dr. Jim Burns joins me today to talk about his book, Doing Life with Your Adult Children. Keep your mouth shut and the welcome mat out. I want you to know, he and I talked about this a couple years ago when the book came out. But because so many of you have asked me to cover this topic, I thought, who better than Dr. Jim Burns? So let me tell you about him. We'll get him on the show. Dr. Jim Burns is president of Homeward and the executive director of Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University. He has close to 2 million resources in print in 20 languages. He's authored multiple books, speaks to thousands of people each year. He and his wife, Kathy, live in Southern California. They have three grown daughters, two sons-in-law, two grandchildren, and that number may have changed since he wrote this book. One other thing I want you to know is Dr. Jim is on a writing deadline as we speak and took time out to spend time with us. We've got a handful of copies of Dr. Jim's book to give away. Text the word book to 877-933-2484. And any questions, comments you have about parenting, connecting with your adult children, send those in a separate text. Dr. Jim Burns, what an honor to speak to you again today. God bless you, sir.
Susie, it's great to be with you. And I have to tell you that every morning I see your name. Here's why. Because Kathy, my wife, is reading Blessings for the Morning.
Okay, oh, wow.
It's an older devotional book of yours. It's on our kitchen table. And just the other day, I started to talk to her. She was reading, but I was going to interrupt her in her way. And she said, you know what? God and Susie and I, we have a date. I'll be done in about, you know, about 2 minutes. So, you know, you're a part of our life. And, you know, it was all your fault that I got interrupted. Actually, it was a good
thing. Of course it is.
She was still spending time with God, but it sits right on our kitchen table. That's where she does, you know, of all places to do your devotions. It's at the kitchen table with her cup
sweet.
Of coffee. And there you go. So there you are. It's a green. I can still see it. Blessings for the Morning. Green. With a cup of coffee and a Bible.
Wow. I love it. I don't know why, but that makes me so happy that you kind of had to wait for us to have a little time. I don't know why. That just made my day. I'm going to send her a copy of my newer one, Prevail. We'll have to connect after. I'll make sure she gets a copy of that.
Awesome.
What an honor.
Well, she would love that. She would love
that.
Yeah.
Well, I just marvel. I mean, you were literally on the home stretch of this next manuscript that you would take time out. I just can't believe it. Thank you for that.
Oh, my pleasure. Hey, if Susie calls, I can spend time with you anytime. And,
okay.
And like I told you, hey, I'm almost done with it. It's on the empty nest. So it kind of goes along with what it's kind of my sequel to Doing Life with Your Adult Child, because so many people said, fine, our adult children, I'm also in an empty nest situation. And it's not easy. So,
right.
Anyway,
oh,
fun.
Boy. Can't wait till that one comes out. Well, you know this, we love to start every day talking scripture. And I'm wondering, as you've been just spending time with the Lord, what's he been talking to you about these days?
Yeah. Well, you know, there's a scripture that I literally wrote this morning in my prayer journal. And I almost did, because I'm writing, I almost went, okay, God, I'll just pass up you today. And I go, no, I can't do that. I made a commitment in the 1980s to spend every day with him and read through the 1 year Bible and write in my prayer journal. And the scripture that came to mind, I didn't read, but it came to mind and I wrote it down, was, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And what I thought about, and I actually journaled on it today, was that I need to every day acknowledge that God made today, whether it's good or bad, or whether my kids are perfect or my kids are bugging me, or whether, you know, marriage is easy or marriage is hard, or whether, you know, whatever's going on, but lousy weather or good weather. And I needed to acknowledge, no, God made today, and I'm going to be grateful, and it's a choice that I make. And, you know, as I know that you have talked about many times, but, you know, joy is a choice. And and it says, you know, I'm going to rejoice in the Lord. It's in the command form over 500 times in the Bible. And So for some reason, that was new and fresh to me today. I mean, I've read that scripture, obviously, other times. But for me today, it was like, wow, that is what I need to be. If I could live that principle, I think, things would be put in place a lot better than sometimes when I try to take it on myself and not be thankful or not put my trust in Him. So anyway, that's the verse for the day.
This is why I asked that question. It's so good. As you're talking, and I was talking to my producer a few months ago about walking through, I have some challenges, health challenges, and there's times where I get into these slumps where I just don't feel so great. And I just was telling her, God has just given me this defiant joy in those places, like joy that defies my circumstances. I'm not going to let this thing bury me. And it's powerful because that the joy of the Lord is our strength. So what a great – that might be your next book after this one.
Joy is an attitude too. I oftentimes will say, your circumstance may not change. And that's an unfortunate thing sometimes with health. But a circumstance may not change, but your attitude can change. And that makes all the difference in the world. And it doesn't take away our circumstances. And I think sometimes as Christians, we – think we're supposed to, get rid of some of those circumstances or they'll just be taken away. And sometimes they're not. Sometimes they are. Obviously, God is way beyond what we could say or do, but He sometimes puts circumstances in our life and we have to work through them. And we work through them with joy. And that's not easy.
Well, let's connect joy to parenting adult children because, we've had received so many requests, not only, through my social media platforms, but through the text line here. And it is tempting to postpone joy, what I'm saying, where you look at scenarios with your adult kids to go, I can't feel joy. I can't even be happy. I'm holding my breath. I'm bracing for impact. So, maybe talk just about the inspiration behind doing life with your adult children because a lot of people are shaken right now,
Right. Well, the inspiration was desperation on Jim and Kathy Burns' part. We got surprised. Our kids grew up. They went into college. They all three, I have three girls. I know you have boys. But my girls all took a little bump. We didn't see that coming. And I was like, what on earth happened? And, Kathy said, I just didn't see that coming. And, they were raised in a Christian home and whatnot. And they weren't terrible. We don't have the most horrible of stories, but they all kind of walked and wandered. Unfortunately, some of their good friends that were helping them were their pastor's kids, their pastor's kids. But anyway, in that process, people started asking me about it because I was in that life age and people were asking me because they were our friends. And so I started doing research and found there wasn't much on it. And I also found that there was great and deep pain. So as we started doing focus groups, as I started speaking on it, people were coming to me. Not like in the focus groups. We did 7 focus groups in a row one time in about 2 weeks, and in 6 of them, there were tears. And I thought, wow, we've hit something. And a lot of it does center around the adult kids violating values, changing directions. That's not just it, but we found that that was it. So I tied into some of the pain. And like I say, unashamedly, very personal. My kids are in their 30s and, now they're thriving, but there were these moments where we went, what on earth was going on? And so, very personal. It was a personal book for me, a personal agenda, if you would. And I learned a lot by, doing the research. And, I would say, and I've said this to Kathy, I've got some principles in the book. And I'd go, I think that's principle number 2. Unsolicited advice is taken as criticism. You gave her good advice, but she didn't want it right now. She's saying that's criticism. And then we kind of laugh and move on. But, if you can get on the same page, and a lot of people with adult children aren't married. They're single, because of circumstances or whatever. But for a lot of us who are married, if we can get on the same page, that's hard. We get people all the time saying financially, my husband wants to keep paying for everything. And I think it's time to let him go and vice versa. And, there's just a lot of that kind of confusion. We parent different. We have to parent our adult children differently. And we've invested 20 years, 2 decades at least of our lives with these kids. And now all of a sudden we're launching them to adulthood. And for many, we're saying, well, they're not acting like the adults we were when we were that age. And they're kind of not. They're, for so many, they're still trying to figure it out in the 20s.
It's a totally different culture, too, only when you released it, but the book, but even now the culture that we're in and the context with which people are framing their life. But let's talk for a moment about identity. They say regarding our adult kids, we either take too much blame or too much credit. And I remember years ago when I was interviewing a young author, and he wrote a parenting book, and he said, when kids wander away when they're older, it's oftentimes because it wasn't real at home. And I said, oh, wow. I said, how old are your kids? And he said, 1 and 2. And I'm like, talk to me in about 20 years, you know, because we have to be so careful of such pat formulaic answers, because there are plenty of parents who did right and didn't get right. So maybe speak to that if you would.
Well, that is true. You know, and I always say, you know, I was a confident parent when I was a youth pastor and had no children. As soon as I started having children, my confidence level just stepped, you know, went farther and farther. But my point is that really good parents have children who make poor choices. And I think we put that on ourselves and we say things like, you know, what did I do wrong? Kathy and I, when our kids, we found out that our daughter, Christy, who now goes to the same church and lives near us, and her husband and the two grandkids that we have with her, we have another grandkid now. But, you know, the fruit doesn't fall far from the tree, but we found out that while she was at her Christian school, she said, well, I go to this Christian school. Why do I need church? You know, and we're saying, you know, we shouldn't have gone on that trip at Easter break. We should have let them go on the missions trip instead of going to Hawaii or whatever. You know, it's about us. And we had to kind of figure out that, no, we did a good job, not a perfect job by any means, but we did a good job. And they chose to make some choices that, we wouldn't have wanted for them, even though we made some of those same choices when we were their age, you know? So part of that is just dealing with some of the regret. And, you know, I think one of the greatest heartbreaks is when kids do violate our values or whatever. And this generation of parents has been so involved and so engaged. And no, are we perfect? No, absolutely. So, but we can't be so hard on ourselves. You know, we're the Bible says that the man or woman of integrity walks securely. Integrity doesn't mean perfection. Integrity means being authentic and being honest and being open to whatever God has for you. And I think when we walk in integrity, not perfection, but integrity, then they'll be more secure. But even when we walk in integrity, that doesn't mean that our kids aren't going to, you know, take a bump or two, because that's what we tend to do as human beings. And and you mentioned the culture. Plus, they were raised in a very different culture than us. And even in the book, I had to take a whole chapter on, you know, being students of the culture, because millennials and Gen Z are very, very different in terms of the way that they think, the way that they act, and the way that they've been taught than we are. So even though they were taught in our churches or whatever, they still are going to look at certain things quite differently. Makes interesting time for Thanksgiving and Christmas.
Boy, does it ever. Indeed. We're going to pause here. I'm talking to Dr. Jim Burns today. His book is titled Doing Life with Your Adult Children. Keep your mouth shut and the welcome mat out. And if you got questions, text those in. Otherwise, we've got a stack to give away. You can text the word book to 877-933-2484. So his first chapter is titled You're Fired. Your role as a parent must change. So when we come back, we're going to talk about just realigning and reframing expectations and even reframing the relationship. So important to do. And then I'm going to read a prayer of relinquishment that Jim offers in the book that's powerful. We'll be back in a moment. Thanks for tuning in to Suzy Larson Live, talking to our friend Dr. Jim Burns, who's written a great book titled Doing Life with Your Adult Children. Keep your mouth shut and the welcome mat out. Your first chapter is titled You're Fired. Your role as a parent must change. Say a word about that.
Well, you know, we've got to give them, as they become adults, the passport to adulthood. And they're not going to necessarily, they want to be adults. In fact, my kids were saying, I'm an adult, treat me like an adult. And I always wanted to say, well, then act like an adult here. Because there's that process that they're, you know, they're kind of moving from, you know, teenage years to the adult years. We call it emerging adolescence. But I think it's the parents' job to literally give them the passport. And part of our job description is to literally say, okay, I recognize you as an adult. That doesn't mean that they are doing all those smart things that maybe adults did. I mean, Kathy and I got married right out of college. So we became instant adults because we had to pay bills and all that. You know, it took my kids more time. They meandered toward marriage. They meandered toward responsibility. And as a parent, we're fired. Now, when we say we're fired, we're actually fired from the day-to-day parenting we did before they were adults. Because, you know, we were in control, or at least in the, you know, teenage years, we were sort of in control. You and I have talked about a book I wrote on understanding your teen, and you know, it's not totally controlled. But now we're not in control. They are in control. And it's really hard for us. I've never met anybody who says, oh, this is easy. So yeah. We have to be caring, but we can't enable dependency on them still. We can't enable dependency on us. And yet sometimes we still want them. We have this need for them to, you know, still be dependent on us. And in reality, the bottom line is always helping them become responsible adults. And I like to add who love God. To do that, we've got to launch them. There you go.
You know, it is such an interesting dynamic because even if your kids aren't wandering, even if they're not doing anything wrong, it is amazing how tied our identity is to our kids. We don't even realize how connected. And as you say, it is unnatural. There comes a point where it's not natural to be so involved, so controlling, deciding who they're dating and all those things. Right. We want that at times, but it's like that only creates, to me, I would say, a law of diminishing returns, because when they meet someone and they're going to see how enmeshed you are in an unhealthy way, that's going to be a big red flag, isn't it?
No, I think it is. I think it really is. I think that was the case. I think that's the case a lot of times with a lot of young men, that if they're enmeshed with their mom, boy, it's tough for the new daughter-in-law or the girlfriend or whatever to move in there. And I think actually it's the mom's job to say, you know what, I release you. I mean, I don't know that they even have to verbally say it, but even in actions, you know, I release you. You're now number one. And, you know, that's a tough thing because you've been number one for all these years. Mm-hmm. And now you need to not be number one. And Kathy and I had a tough first year. We've been married 46 years. So, you know, we got through it. But the first year, and we lived by my mom, and my mom was very close to me. So Kathy and I would get in a tiff. And I was a youth pastor, so we would argue on the way to church, and I'd talk about the joy of a Christian family, you know, to the kids. And then we'd get in some kind of a tiff, and I'd say, you know, I'm going to leave for a minute. And I would go to mom, and I would never tell her. But, you know, I'd open the refrigerator, I'd get something, you know, I was still depending on her. And finally, after that year, we went away to grad school in Princeton, New Jersey. And when we did, it was really good because I was away from mommy. And my mom, a neat lady, but she kind of hadn't released me. She was glad for me to come by anytime at any place and nurture me and, you know, love on me. And she didn't even know I was having a tougher time with our marriage. But I think that's part of that process. It's a hard thing to do.
Yeah. You know, my boys, having all boys, when they each got married, I just said, you know, I don't know if this is right or not, but it feels like it's right to do. But I'm just going to let you and your wife set the pace for communication. I love you. I'm not going anywhere, but I'm not going to insert myself at all. So if you guys want to connect, you know, there was nothing in me that was saying that in any kind of pouty way. It really was releasing you. I feel very secure and I'm moving into this season. And plus, I've got a lot going on. So if you want to talk, let me know and we will drop whatever we're doing whenever we can. And those kids have all said that just gave the wife the chance to move in and become number one. And I'm so grateful that did that. So
Susie, you get the gold star for doing life with your adult children. I just want to tell you, I'm giving you the gold star today. You can put it on your lapel because that's what you do.
So funny.
You did it right. Exactly right. And yet it had to be hard at times.
Yeah. I mean, trauma is too big of a word, but I just hear this so much from parents behind the scenes.
Yeah.
When you launch them, even if it's a positive launch, nobody's prepared for what that feels like, you know?
No. And see, the thing is you're not prepared as a parent, but they're not prepared either because they don't know what to do as adults either. I mean, they've never been an adult. You've never been the parent of an adult child. So it gets messy, but it really is the way to do that. And sometimes I'll say to moms, especially of sons, I'll say the way to your son and the way to your grandchildren is through your daughter-in-law. So you cheer her on, you love her, let her know what place she is in your son's life and where you are taking a back seat. And when you do that, and when you cheer them on, hey, you have more access to your son and more access to your grandchildren. If you don't, you know, good luck.
Yeah. Well, all right. Joseph Wrightson says, based on scripture below, what are some things you did in the meantime for your children during their period of wandering from the Lord? And then he references Proverbs 22:6, train your children in the right path. And when they're older, they will not leave it. What do you say?
Well, for one thing, that scripture I read over and over again, because Kathy and I did do some training and sometimes some part of that training wasn't taking place right then. But, you know, it's a marathon and it's not a sprint. And so I don't know if there was a day. I hope there wasn't, but there might have been. But there weren't many where we did not pray for them. And then one of our daughters, especially, who, funny, now she's a Christian, you know, psychologist, and, you know, is doing amazing things, was a missionary and on and on. But during that time, Kathy taught a Bible study on Tuesday nights, and I had dinner with her every Tuesday. I drove an hour and a half to have dinner. And there were times when I thought, this is kind of a waste of time, because she goes, oh, I got to get going, you know, 45 minutes for, you know, take me 3 hours of driving and 45 minutes. But during that time, I felt like the most important thing I could do would be present with her and be a safe person for her. If she did, you know, blow it, or if she did make some mistakes, I still wanted to be that safe person. So when she fell, and she sort of did, that she would be here. She would be there for me. So I didn't want to shun her. I was angry at her, you know, different things. But what I needed to do was be present. And so I think scripturally, that's very, I call it the power of being there. Jesus said, let the little children come, meaning he welcomed them. Well, I think we need to be welcoming to our children, even when they're not loving it. We can't be one topic parents. And I'm not saying we did it all right, but I would say for us, it was the prayer, and it was also, you know, making time to spend time with them when all we wanted to do was be a one topic person. Becca, are you serious? And then instead of kind of saying that she knew what we felt, she knew what we believed. So what we needed to do is talk about some of the other things that to us were more non-essentials. But, you know, interesting enough, Becca came around. As soon as she graduated from college, she became a missionary, and, you know, things were great. Life mm-hmm. changed. But mm-hmm. during those times, we needed to be present, but we also needed to be putting our trust. The prayer part was important, because we need to be putting our trust in God, because we're like, wait, God, what are you doing here? This is not a part of our, you know, plan or program. Well, you know, who was an incredible counselor to girls who, you know, could get a little wild? It's Becca, because mm-hmm. she did, you know, for a bit. And, you know, it's now part of her story. She doesn't, you know, mind me saying that, but it's now a part of her story. The other thing was, Kathy and I were embarrassed. And we realized we needed to come. Like, I've been in a small group for 18 years, and at first I didn't want to say, wait, my kids aren't walking the line perfectly. After all, I write books on this stuff, and you've read my small group. You've read my books, and, you know, you think I'm okay. So what I had to do was say, wow, could you guys pray for me? This is what's going on. And Kathy felt comfortable talking with her, you know, smaller group. We weren't going to share the dirty war stories of our children to everybody. That's their story to tell, not ours. But we needed to find people who, you know, iron sharpens iron. And it was interesting, because even as I started to share that with my small group of all these years, they started to talk a little bit more open. Guys are, you know, weird about this, you know. They started to talk a little bit more open about some of the struggles they had with their own kids. And I think we drew mm-hmm. closer because of that as
so
well.
Good. You know, I was tempted to be a one-topic parent as well. And then I could just hear it from the Lord. They need to see your joy. They need to see your strength. They you know, enter into the world. And we're getting ready to go to break, but one of my sons grabbed me by the shoulders and says, Mom, guys respond to a win. You need to tell my brother, I raised you. I raised you right. There's good stuff in you. God's got you. I have full confidence that you're going to find your way in him. And I'm like, I was so schooled by my son. I'm like, you're 100%
so
right.
That is so good. Hey, your son is awesome. And we can learn so much from the siblings telling us, you know, what we're doing, good and bad.
Yeah. I needed the smack upside the head for sure. More with Dr. Jim Burns in a moment. Thanks for tuning in to Suzy Larson Live. We're talking about parenting your adult children. And, you know, I read a Dallas Willard quote the other day. It said, do your best, but don't trust your best. Trust God. And I think when we're parenting our kids, we can get so filled with regrets. If only I'd have done this, we should have done this better. But nobody does it perfectly. But we bring our offering to God, and we ask him to do what he will. And then we pray like there's a God in heaven, because there is. Talking to our friend Dr. Jim Burns, he's got an amazing book titled Doing Life with Your Adult Children, Keep Your Mouth Shut and the Welcome Mat Out. So much incredible practical advice about how to navigate these relationships that allows our kids to want to be with us, to communicate with us. Got a stack to give away. You can text the word book to 877-933-2484. I welcome your questions and comments. I always love to hear from you. Just send them to that same number. I love this. Jim, Leanne writes in, my daughter's mother-in-law presented my daughter with an apron at the rehearsal dinner. Then she cut the strings on it and said, I'm giving you my son with no strings attached. She said, that selfless act made me weep. Isn't that good?
That is so good. It's great to hear those, because a lot of times I hear the lousy stuff, you know, where they're,
right.
You know, they're still trying to hold on. And this is, you know, it's really good, you know, so you already got the star, but, you know, that mother-in-law gets the star tomorrow.
That's exactly right. I love it. Very good. Well, here's an anonymous question, and boy, do I hear this one a lot. I was close with my kids through high school, but it grieves me that after graduation, we only hear from them when they need something. I'd hope for a friendship, but I feel irrelevant to them. Any advice? And they are now ages 30 and 32.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I do feel the pain. I hear that all the time, and I don't have easy answers. Because again, there may be some issues and reasons, and so it's always good to sort that out with someone that you love and trust, a trusted friend, a pastor, a counselor, whatever. But I find that, you know, I think our kids do want relationship with us. They want it different than it was. And so I do think that we have to let them kind of take the lead, but I think we can also, you know, be sending them a card, note, gifts, candy, flowers, you know, things like that. I know that if they're in the town, I know a woman who was having the same story, and she just started dropping by Starbucks cards to the daughter-in-law. And finally, the daughter said, I appreciate this so much. Why don't we go get some Starbucks together? And, you know, they built a friendship. They renewed a friendship. Now, this was with a daughter-in-law. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think we continue to realize that at 30, there may be a reason, but there also may be that they don't know that you want to have a adult-to-an-adult relationship. I don't, again, know the story, but I do believe that with our kids, I have found that we're trying to be their greatest cheerleaders. So I called Christy yesterday, my oldest, and said, hey, you guys are going to go on a date this week. If you are, we want to watch the kids. And she goes, oh, thanks. We already watched the kids a few times a week. They live by us. And but we took the, you know, the advice of that. And so, again, what I'm trying to do is build in by being their cheerleader, by being their safe place. And I think it starts with little tiny baby steps. So I think that person could ask, what is it that could draw me just a step closer without being nagging negative at all, but just simply, you know, do something, an act of random kindness or something that they just can't do anything but say, gosh, thanks. Mm-hmm. And, you know, eventually, you know, that can change. I know somebody who's had been in a situation like that with their son, and they both fished when they were young. And the dad said, hey, this may be coming out of clear blue. I know we haven't spent a lot of time together, but, you know, I'm going to go on a fishing trip. You spent a lot of money on this, too. It was a fly fishing, cost him some money. And the son said, I'd love to go. Well, guess what? That renewed a relationship that had been in some ways broken. So I wouldn't be disheartened. I'd keep going, but I wouldn't put it in their face in a negative way. I'd put it in a positive way.
Yeah. You know, it's so interesting how important I think discernment is as you pray. And you, because as I said in the early years, I said, guys, I'm going to let you guys set the pace because I just want your wives to know they're number one and you guys get settled. But there was, you know, as we just loved on them and were here whenever they needed us, there was a subtle shift where suddenly they wanted us to proactively pursue them. And there's just zero strings attached. But, hey, we're doing a game night, or, hey, can we take you to dinner? Or, but just a little here and there. And
it's so great.
And I just think, we're not doing it all perfectly either, but it is so nuanced based on their seasons of life, isn't it?
It really is. We're in that role too. Our daughter, Becca, we're going on a vacation with her. She's single right now. She's just really close to getting engaged, we think. But she called us up and said, hey, do you guys want to go do something together? I got this time off. And we were like, we'll stop what we're doing. We will do this. And now I'm laughing. It's costing us, honestly, about $1,500. And we will do this forever. But how great that at 34, she wants to hang out with us. Okay, we're good. Let's do it. Mm-hmm. But that wasn't the case 14 years ago either.
Yeah. Boy, that's so good. Okay, your second chapter, Keep Your Mouth Shut and the Welcome That Out, Unsolicited Advice is usually taken as criticism. You mentioned kind of being a one-topic parent. But this is where, you know, the leaving and cleaving really needs to happen, because we think we're helping and we're pummeling certain points that they've heard their whole lives. So maybe speak to that if you would.
Well, I think what they're hearing from us when we're giving advice, even if it's good advice, Susie, is that you don't trust me with my decisions, and I'm all grown up in my mind, but you don't think I'm all grown up. So we have right intentions. We're just doing it the wrong way. So we've got to bite our tongue and sometimes ask for permission to give advice, or simply, you know, I always say experience is a better teacher than advice. So sometimes, you know, they've got to crash. I mean, when our kids were little and they you know, fell down and skinned their knee, they probably didn't do it again in that same manner because they learned from it. So I think it's important for us to be really careful on that. And then the one topic parent side, when they've made some poor choices, and if we keep pounding on it, they already know what you think. So, you know, move on. I tell a story in the book about a friend of mine who his daughter wasn't doing good, and he kept pounding. And then one day he just called up and said, "Hey, do you want to go snowboarding?" And so they went snowboarding for a day, went out to dinner, and he never brought up a thing. And the daughter later that night texted him and said, "Thank you for a wonderful day. I know you had an agenda probably, and I just wanted to give you an update on what's going on in my life. But thanks for playing with me." You know, I think a lot of times we can have some real serious fun with our kids, and actually that's when the connections, you know, happen better. Well, how good was that? I mean, again, we always have advice. I mean, I have advice for all three of my kids right now. That's what I do, okay? But they don't always want it like that, because I need to respect that they are adults and they are grown up. And what's funny is, you know, there's a movie, an old movie, Field of Dreams, that's built a baseball diamond in a cornfield in Iowa. And they said, if you build it, they will come. Well, I think if you build a relationship, you'll change it from, you know, a parent who's controlling to a mentor parent. So now you're a mentor mom, you're a mentor dad. And that's a lot better way with the adult way, you know, to do it.
You know, even, you know, with holidays, I think we can have our traditions that are kind of solidified and locked in because it's what we did when they were growing up, and they may have just lended themselves to great, great memories. But then you're bringing in spouses, and then you're bringing in grandkids. We are the ones who have to be willing to change and to be pliable, to go, okay, what works for the family now? And otherwise that can even cause where they're just doing all the accommodating. That will wear out after a while, won't it?
No, absolutely. I agree with you. What we've got to do is just literally, I mean, we have Thanksgiving, but I don't think we've celebrated a Thanksgiving on that Thursday, you know, for a long time. Now we kind of have, but not with everybody. But we try to do something around that time. And you know what? I think our kids, my kids, now two of them are married, one is not. But, you know, they really appreciate the fact that we just say, hey, look, what's your plans around that time? You know, how can we accommodate that? Well, we're thinking about going to the other, you know, the in-laws for dinner. We're going to have our own or whatever. We go, great. Anything, you know, anytime you want to hang out late another time, or is this just not the right year? And you know what? That has really helped. So for your listeners who are saying, no, we get every Christmas, or we get every other Christmas Eve, or we get this, that, don't fight that. You know, I know we celebrate Jesus' birth on the 25th, but we don't have to celebrate as a family on the 25th. It's going to, you know, win some points for you to let them do their own thing on that day. And you do it, you know, you give up the 25th for them, and you celebrate something on the 27th or the 24th or the 23rd or whatever it might be.
Well, you start to think about when you have, you know, when you're the empty nester, and you don't have the sleepless nights and all the accommodating that young parents of little ones have. And when they're being forced to do all the work and doing all the, again, that's going to take a toll. And it probably means the world to go, whatever you need. But don't you think, Jim, too, we need to be so locked in our identity in Christ, because you have multiple opportunities to take things personally that just aren't meant personally, you know?
Right. And this is a different generation. We take things personally that our parents and our grandparents probably didn't take personally. So I think it's important for us to be working on our own identity. You know, I use a phrase, enabling dependency. And I feel like a lot of our generation have enabled dependency in an unhealthy way because it was a need for us, not a need for our kids. And so I think it's important for us to release them, relinquish them to God. And we've got to do some work ourselves. A lot of times, right at the doing life with your adult children, as they begin to launch, and by the way, you only have 936 weeks of a launch. You were born; they're born, and 936 weeks later, they are launched into adulthood, which is shocking. But when you think of it that way, you know, then I just think we probably need to do some work. That's why we need small groups, and we need to, you know, get solid with our relationship with God, and we need to get healthy ourselves. And actually, even throughout the book, I sneak it in there, in terms of, you know, make sure that you're getting the right spiritual nourishment, the right physical nourishment, the right replenishing friendships at this season in your life. Because if not, way too many people have just focused so much on their kids, and then they they experience what we call the empty nest syndrome, which is a lot of times that they are now paralyzed with pain and depression, and you know they've lost their will to you know have a great life because their kids have moved on. Well, that's not healthy either by any means, of course.
Mm-hmm. Now I'm going to just preface what I'm about to say with, and people have heard this from me before, but again, with three sons, two of my three sons wandered from the faith and literally broke my heart. So I'm saying this in that context, friends, that, you know, one of them, they're doing great now, but one of them said to us a few years ago, he said, when I watch how much fun you and Dad have, when I watch how hard you run after Jesus, when I look at how stable you are vocationally, and he said, I know that requires diligence and discipline and focus and purposefulness. I never had any idea in my 20s, now that I'm in my 30s, what it required for you to stand where you stand now. And he said, I just can't get enough. I want to hear everything you have to say. Now, that is, you know, that's amazing when you think of where, you know, when they knew everything, right? And so I just think there's something about thinking long, you know?
You're exactly right, Susie. And, you know, your listener who texted at the beginning of this broadcast, train up a child. See, we train up our kids. That doesn't mean it makes no promise that they're going to stay right with us or that they're going to even come back and look like we think they should look. But what it does say is through that training, they do begin to, they had the training. So when they get older, after they've kind of, you know, goofed around a little bit with life, you know, I think they do come back. I mean, it's a principle of God. Mm-hmm. So this is where we have to be patient and not give up, because truly many kids do. Even kids who are walking away from faith are kids who are, you know, we're beginning to see some of those folks come back when they get married, when they have children, when they, you know, get a little bit older. They, you know, they wander back into it. Sometimes they don't go to the same church. Sometimes they, you know, they have a little bit skewed thing in terms of what a belief or something like that. Mm-hmm. But the truth is they do wander mm-hmm. back because we did train them up in the, you know, in the right way. I like to oftentimes say it's either the pain of discipline or the pain of regret. And, you know, the pain of discipline, they saw you and your husband, our kids saw Kathy and me going through the pain of discipline so that we wouldn't have as much regret in our marriages and in our life and other things. And that's good news for us, that we've got to stay healthy and practice those disciplines because they're watching, just like your son said to you.
Yeah, I was going to say, it feels like you're training them when they're under your roof, but I feel like in some ways you're training them by living with integrity and, you know, living before the Lord in a fear of God, because you've launched your kids, but you and Kathy just keep on keeping on. I think you're still training them because they're still watching you, you know?
Oh, no, exactly. It's just that's what you do. And, you know, the Bible says the man or woman of integrity walks securely. I think they'll have kids who will walk securely if we live it with as much integrity as we can.
Yeah, you know, we're going to pause here, but I remember some of the things as a public person, things people say. I mean, one woman, I go to a pretty huge church, but one morning, Sunday morning, I was brokenhearted over a Facebook post from one of my sons who'd been out at the bar. This is years ago, but still just about killed me. And a woman walked up, I didn't know her, and she said, I saw that picture of your son on Facebook. She goes, I didn't even teach faith at home, and my kids are missionaries. What happened to yours? I'm like, kill me now. I want to crawl in a hole right now. But I just say that as we go to break, friends, that it's so tempting to compare and despair. But God's going to give you grace for your story. When we come back, we've got a listener who says, my mother-in-law gives unsolicited advice. Do you have advice on how to deal with this as a daughter-in-law? Talking to the infamous Dr. Jim Burns. His book, Doing Life with Your Adult Children. Keep your mouth shut and your welcome mat out. We've got a handful of copies to give away. Text the word book to 877-933-2484. Tuning in to Susie Larson Live, talking to our friend Dr. Jim Burns, who's written a fantastic book, Doing Life with Your Adult Children. Keep your mouth shut and the welcome mat out. We've got five copies to give away today. I'm thrilled about that. Text the word book to 877-933-2484. So, Dr. Jim, this listener says, my mother-in-law gives unsolicited advice. Do you have advice on how to deal with this as the daughter-in-law?
Well, Susie, you'd be amazed how many times I get that. I'll be speaking and somebody comes up to me and want me to sign the book. And I say, well, do you have adult children? I'm looking at them. They go, oh, no, this is for my mother-in-law. Her name is Claire. Please fix her. So, anyway, your listener is definitely not the only one. No, I think it's important for us, not in the heat of the bed, to understand, first of all, understand the intent. And the intent is the mother-in-law, her intent is probably 99% good. She wants to help. She loves her daughter-in-law. She loves her son. She loves grandkids, whoever. But she's doing it wrong, and she honestly probably doesn't know. She probably does that with a lot of things. So the intent is good. So I think in that place, I think it's important whenever she can to be able to say, I really appreciate, you know, this input. But I think sometimes not in the heat of the battle or in the heat of the moment, but to say, you know, I also feel sometimes when you're giving me this advice that you don't trust me or you don't think I'm making, you know, good decisions or whatever. And if it's really, really bad, then I think it's important to almost have an intervention and say, you know what, here's how we like this. I just was in a situation where the daughter-in-law was really struggling because the mother-in-law just kept coming in and talking about how she was raising her kids wrong. Frankly, I thought the daughter-in-law was doing a really good job when she told me. But they needed an intervention, and the son had to come in and say, hey, you know what? We appreciate your – always say, you know, start with the positive. We appreciate your intent. We appreciate your input. But you know what? It's not helping here. And we do have some issues, and we want you to respect our, you know, our style of parenting. And, you know, I'm not saying that the mother-in-law then goes, hey, fantastic. You're the greatest person in the world. But you're having an adult-to-adult conversation then. But if you don't, you're going to harbor bitterness and resentment. It's going to affect the family. So, you know, it's just not an easy thing. And I'm not saying there's a magic wand, but I do think that honesty is best. And especially when we understand its intent. I'll see that with my girls sometimes. Kathy will say something, and she loves to give advice. And they'll say, Mom, really appreciate your input. But Kathy also has said at times, if I give you advice, you're the ultimate decision maker on this. So know that I'm giving you advice, but I do realize, and this is a real mature thing, I think, on a mom's part, but I do realize that you're going to make your, you know, the ultimate decision. And we've just had to learn to ask for permission. Now, again, that may be something that she can say, but it's not, there's no easy answer. It's messy. It depends on how the mother-in-law, you know, takes something like that. But I think they learn. I've had a couple of conversations with my mother-in-law over the years that, you know, weren't easy things. She didn't always take them good, but guess what? She actually heard them, and then she changed her behavior, even though her immediate response to me was not what I was looking for. She didn't say, bow down and say, Jim, you are amazing, and I'm so glad my daughter married you, and you're awesome. She said,
she should have.
Yeah, right. That's what I always said. But you know, she kind of did the but. And you know what? She actually changed some of that behavior. She heard it. And I tried to always respect and honor her when I could. I didn't do it just for her because sometimes she bugged me, but I've passed on now. You know, but I did it for Kathy. And I think that's how she can relate to her mother-in-law, by honoring her whenever she can for her husband's sake. And yet at the same time, if she has to, you know, have that serious conversation, have it. Nobody said every conversation is going to be easy, but that's what adults do. We sit down and we put on our big boy pants and our big girl dresses or whatever, or pants, and we have that conversation.
Yeah, very good. I love this one. Says, I'm fairly new listener. Both my boys just got married. I hope to get this book. It would help me a lot. I have two very new daughters-in-law. They're beautiful and love my boys so much. I'm truly blessed. I don't want to ruin the relationships. The very fact that you have that posture means you're already in such a good place, you know?
Totally.
So, wow. You know, another text came in and said, what if we didn't train them in the way they should go? I want to just read an excerpt from your book and then have you comment on it. But this is so good. You said, regarding your adult kids, it may be too late for prevention, but it's never too late. Listen, friends, for redemption. Miracles do happen. Sometimes they take the form of rapid change, but most times they are a slow climb toward a better life. And that slow climb toward a better life was kind of what happened with my boys. And I think it's a long haul race, but go ahead and speak to that.
Well, you know, there's a phrase that I wrote in the book, and it was a quote. I could never find who wrote it, but it said, good thing Easter is a season, not just a day, because some resurrections take time. And I love that. And that's a word for, you know, for that person. But, you know, a lot of people didn't raise their kids, you know, the way that, you know, whoever the latest, greatest, you know, parenting, you know, coach is or whatever. So, you know what? We begin where we begin. And that's the beauty. I mentioned the small group. Every one of those guys in the small group, besides me, I became a Christian when I was 16. I wasn't raised in the church, but they all took bumps and tosses and turns. And today they are amazing spiritual leaders, amazing people, but they learned this in their 20s and actually even one guy in his 30s. And so there's really hope for our kids. And as they see you change and as they see you lean into your own faith, guess what? You have big footprints. They're going to follow in your footprints a lot of times. They're not going to do it easy, but you know, we tried our best. We can't go back and reparent, but we can parent differently today than we were different parenting because we now know more. And we also know that we can't do it on our own. Back then, we were probably trying to do it on our own. Today, we can do it more with God's help and God's power and with his intentionality and strength. It's a different way of parenting.
So much. And that's why I love the idea of keeping the welcome mat out. Because on one hand, I just think you can't emphasize enough your own joy in the Lord, your own walk with God, having fun in your marriage. I mean, where you're building a life, you know, you're not just postponing joy and being a one-topic adult parent. But on the other side, depositing in them, being there for them, taking your hands off them when you need to do that, that welcome mat is out. And then there's the potential for a great conversation. Yeah. One of my sons was dating a gal years ago that I just knew was not right for him. And we have this thing about, you know, getting the parents' blessing and all that. And one of my friends pulled me aside because the more we said, honey, just you got to look at this, the more he dug in his heels. And my friend said, sure, you guys have such a culture of honor in your home that I feel like, I'm not saying to give a blessing that you can't give, but I think you should lay it down and just tell him, you know how I feel. We're just going to set this aside. No matter what you decide, we are in your corner. We love you. We're going to walk with you, hon. You're the one who has to live with this decision, but you're not going to hear that from us again. We're going to love and support what you decide because you're an adult. Yeah. And he'd been so busy with his locked elbows because we were saying, honey, look at this. When we stopped that, he just within like a week or two started to see the things that were concerning. And within 4 weeks or 5 weeks, he'd broken up with her. And so there's something that we can't manipulate their choices, you know?
No. And that was great advice by your friend and really brave advice that you all made, but it was the truth. Look at that. It worked. You know, I think that happens a lot. I hear that story a lot in different ways, and yet I always look at the courage that the parents have because, again, it's frightful when you're looking at somebody that they're dating that you just go, it is frightful. I get it.
Well, it's a big decision.
Sometimes they marry that frightful person, and it ends up, you know, with a great redemption story too. So, you know, we do have to be careful because when they fall, you want to be a safe parent because when they fall, and they do, you want them to fall and come to you, not to run from you because they're shamed and whatnot by, even though, you know, there's times we're going to be screaming in our pillow or, you know, pounding on our wall. It's still important for us to be that safe parent to them. And that's showing the same unconditional love that God shows to us. You know, he loves us not for what we do, but for who we are, just like we love our kids, not for what they do, but for who they are. They're our children, so we're going to love them, even if they're goofy and even if their Facebook page, you know, didn't make you proud that day. It does today. And how great is that? That's the story of redemption.
Yeah, God's intent is to form them, you know, in his image, not ours. And as we get ready to wrap here, Brian texted in. He says, sometimes I ask my adult kids, do you want to hear my two cents? He said it keeps it in perspective for both of us. And Brian, I think that's fantastic. Jim, you got to come back. There's like half of my notes we still haven't even touched, but I'm going to let you recover from writing your book. Go celebrate with your wife, but come back soon. We love our conversations.
By the way, anytime. Love being with you. I learned so much from you, Susie. I just appreciate who you are, your authenticity, and just your wonderful grounding. So thank you for doing what you do. Sure appreciate it.
And you as well, my friend. We'll look forward to our next conversation. Hey, and we're going to keep that drawing open for a little bit. So if you want Doing Life with Your Adult Children, want in on the drawing, just text the word book to 877-933-2484. We'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Susie Larson Live. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player, and never miss a show.